What's up, everyone? Welcome to the 554th episode. The second episode of the Pokemon podcast. It's two of them. I'm your host, Steve. With me is Hannah.
Happy Pokemon Day, at least today. It won't be when you hear this, but for now, happy Pokemon Day. I hope everyone's Pokemon Day was wonderful and that you enjoyed at least some of the announcements.
You have to like at least one, right? Bobby also here.
Hello. Quite tired. 6 a.m. not fun to wake up for anything, but Pokemon Day, I'll do it.
Yeah, you know, you wake up early for Christmas and Pokemon Day, you know, the two staples in life.
The question is, my meetings start every day, so I'm used to it.
The question is, are your kids as excited for Pokemon Day as you are, Bobby, or as they are for Christmas?
My daughter's two, so not really excited. My son, yeah, I told him it was Pokemon Day today, and he was excited about that for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. All right, so here's the game plan. This is still, we instead of giving you a 90-minute show on Monday, I'm giving you 2 one-hour shows broken in half. The logistical reasons of why this is still 5:44 and not 5:55 is literally just ad purposes. But hey, don't worry about that. You just got a new episode, so that's really great. There's a lot of stuff announced. We're trying to keep this an hour, so we're going to focus on the Scarlet and Violet DLC. I know there was Pokemon Sleep and some anime stuff and Unite and Masters and something else I'm probably forgetting. The great thing about podcasts is there will be more, so whatever we don't get to this episode, we will talk about the next episode. And then for those asking, Greg will be back. He went to Disney, got sick. Had some life stuff happen. Totally cool. I gave up a new mixer, though, so I'm excited to see how fancy that is when he comes back. But no worries. Pokemon Day. We're gonna tackle the big announcement here. We're gonna spend the next 55 minutes talking about a 3-minute trailer from a 22-minute trailer. So today, this is the press release, by the way. I'll try to get through all of this. Today on Pokemon Day, during a special Pokemon Presents video presentation that was streamed online to fans around the world, the Pokemon Company announced the Hidden Treasure of Area Zero. That's a mouthful of a DLC. New downloadable content for the blockbuster Pokemon Scarlet and Pokemon Violet video games. Global sales of the Pokemon Scarlet and Violet video games for the Nintendo Switch has surpassed 10 million combined units after the first 3 days worldwide on November 18th. The highest global sales for any software on a Nintendo platform within that time frame. The Hidden Treasure of Area Zero will take fans deeper into the world of Pokemon Scarlet or Pokemon Violet, consisting of two different adventures. Both games get the same two adventures. I know that's confusing. We had the same confusion during Sword and Shield. The Pokemon Company put in an infographic on how to not purchase the wrong DLC this time around, but two different adventures. Part one is called the Teal Mask that will launch in fall of 2023. Don't worry, we'll bust out the calendars for you guys. And then part two, which is called the Indigo Disc, will release at a later date. Fans can purchase the Hidden Treasure of Area Zero now on the Nintendo eShop. So two DLCs, same as Sword and Shield. I believe we got June and October for Isle of Armor and Crown Tundra.
And no one is going to be able to convince me except for if a Game Freak dev speaks to me specifically. Nobody is going to be able to convince me that the first one of these DLCs wasn't meant to be a summer DLC. Because that's a summer festival. The trailer opened into a summer Japanese countryside. This is like summer vacation kind of theme from anime. This was, as far as I can tell, intended to be a summer DLC, but it's coming out in the fall.
I agree with you. I don't think I agree that it was probably supposed to be June, July, but I'm not upset that they're like, we probably need more time.
And we're not going to know why, but yeah, I agree.
I think
we kind of know why.
I think we know why.
We kind of know why. But yeah, no, they almost definitely pushed this one back. This feels, like I said, like a summer vacation episode of an anime. Uh-huh. And it's based off of a old Japanese story that has been repeated for many, many years, as are the Pokemon.
A little bit of confusion here with release dates. Again, we'll bust out the calendar. I'm reading the official press release. This is the same thing. This is the press release they emailed to outlets, you know, Serebii, comicbook.com, IGN, et cetera, et cetera. Whether people want to report on those press releases is up to the website. Same press release here. They say fall of 2023 for Teal Mask and a later date for Indigo Disc. This press release went out at 6:30 a.m. Pacific time this morning. But on Pokemon.com, the official Pokemon website, and I just read from official Pokemon release, the Teal Mask, they say, is stated for fall of 2023, release date subject to change. And then Indigo Disc is related for winter of 2023, subject to change.
Right. That's what it was in the announcement today, too.
That was what it was in the video as well.
In the video.
And now the third calendar is if you go to the eShop, the Teal Mask says December 31st or whatever, 2023. And then the Hidden Treasure or in the Indigo Disc is like April 30th, 2024. Last time I checked, April of 2024 is not the same as winter of 2023. It might be April. There might be snow on the ground in April, but that doesn't mean that is winter because spring starts March 21st.
Mm-hmm.
There have been other examples of eShop dates being incorrect, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I think eShop needs a placeholder of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense.
So logistically, if we're fall begins in October, correct? Or is it September?
September 21st.
September 21st.
Yeah.
And then winter begins December 21st.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a 2-week window in winter 2023 for this game to come out.
There's a difference between when it feels like winter and when it's actually technically winter.
Yeah. If they're doing December, you have the 8th, the 15th, the 22nd, and the 29th. I don't see anything really wrong with the 22nd, which is the day after winter technically begins on the calendar. That's right before Christmas. That's still pretty good marketing. That's still like people are getting the games, like, or I got an eShop gift card for Christmas. I want to get the DLC kind of thing.
Oh, that's true. Because there's no physical. They eventually did a physical thing for Sword and Shield, didn't they? But that was quite a bit later.
They had download cards for them, and I think they did physical release as well.
I think the physical release came a month later, though. Was it day of? I don't think it was day of.
No, it wasn't day of.
It wasn't, which is why that close to Christmas wouldn't really affect. If they were going to do physical at some point, it probably wouldn't be day one. So,
and then we have the thing we should really look at, should get like one of those bulletin boards and like all those like arrows and strings, is like we need to find the dates in October that are community day weekends and the dates that are tournaments. And that
and
is
find
the,
where they intersect.
Correct. And that is the day the DLC will come out. Because as we talked about before, they love throwing everything on the same weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, though, I'm pretty okay with waiting. If they need more time, they need more time. It might feel a little weird to have DLC and I don't know, as early as September and then have it again in December. I don't think that's a bad thing. It's just, you know, something we haven't had before.
Yeah. I think it's fine. There's obviously other games coming out in the right before summer. Zelda for one. That I think will keep plenty of people busy, keep me busy. So I don't mind having the fall release. I think they've shown us over the last couple of years, like moving things around a little bit, like having Legends Arceus come out in January, right? Like just moving things around, and I think it was fine. So it's another part of the year where we'll get the first one. I think that's totally fine. I don't think it'll be so heavy that it would run into, if they did like an end of December 2nd DLC, I don't think it would be like, oh, I'm not even done with part one. But that also could be helpful if they come out kind of closer together, get everybody already hyped up on the first one. The second one comes closer, yeah, and then you're rolling right into the second one.
If the two are actually related at all.
Well, just to have people playing. I mean, not even like if they're related, but just what we were saying last time with summer, and then I guess it was fall last with Sword and Shield.
October, but it just felt like Crown Tundra.
Yeah, Crown Tundra for the end of October. I just felt like there wasn't as much hype on the second one. Maybe this would be different if they're a little bit closer together, but just further into the year.
If you don't put down the game for as long in between.
Right. I would. There is something for me, this is just a personal thing, there is something that Pokemon, like the weekend before Thanksgiving, just feels like the start of a holiday or something, of like, so many Pokemon games just come out in middle of November, and I just have so many memories or personal experiences of like, you know, when I had a traditional job of like, hey, I'm taking this weekend off and might as well just take the 3 days before Thanksgiving and have the whole week and do Pokemon. And you see family or friends and they're doing Pokemon, and that's like the thing you talk about over the holidays. And it was a little weird for Crown Tundra to be in October, because it was still exciting, it was still fun, it was still great. But then that November came and it felt a little empty for me, at least. Again, maybe other people can't relate.
It could be November. That's still fall.
Yeah.
So still fall. It could be a little bit further in. Not going to go off any patterns, but the last time there was a fall release, it was October. So, I mean, if BDS, they want to stick with it, you know, end of October.
Yeah, BDSP was the way to do it. November still.
Oh, right. But I mean, like for the DLC.
Oh, yeah.
For Crown Tundra, it was end of October. So could do it again for part one.
I got a quote here. We are grateful that millions of trainers around the world have chosen to explore the expansive Paldea region, said Ishihara, president and CEO of the Pokemon Company. In the hidden treasure of Area Zero, fans will take a trip to the land of Kitakami, where they will meet new Pokemon and interesting characters. I sincerely hope trainers who embark on this journey will find the same excitement and joy they experienced when they encountered their first Pokemon. Players can use their current save data from Pokemon Scarlet and Violet to continue their adventure. I'm just going to say the DLC, because the hidden treasure of Area Zero is a mouthful. It's really long. Just hot take. It's kind of a bad name. Just
wow.
Like the teal mask is short, sweet. Indigo disc, short, sweet. It's very, very long.
What was Legends Arceus's DLC called? Like Daybreak? Was it just Daybreak?
It was just Daybreak, yeah.
That's good. That's a good one. That was nice, short.
The Daybreak right update. Never to see another update again.
Well, okay.
In this new downloadable content, players will leave the Paldea region, and they will head over to Kalos, where they will discover that AZ... Oh, wait, no, that didn't actually happen. They will leave the Paldea region, the setting of Pokemon Scarlet and Violet. In part one, the teal mask will be a school trip that they will take to the land of Kitakami, where they will be joining an outdoor study program held jointly between the academy and another school. In part two, the Indigo Disc, players will be traveling to the Blueberry Academy, a sister school of their own academy, as exchange students. While this tale is split into two parts, they link together to tell a connected story. So I think the takeaway there that Hannah mentioned a bit earlier is there was no connection between the Isle of Armor and the Crown Tundra. Not that I remember, at least. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, not really.
No. Nothing at all.
But in this case, it sounds like there might be.
I think somebody mentioned this during my live stream, but when you take the Elite Four quiz and that she asks what school you're from, one of the answers is Blueberry, I believe.
Yep, it is.
Mm, nice. A little foreshadowing
for some
there.
Reason, not translated into Spanish, but it's there.
Blueberry in Spanish is not just blueberry, right? It has to be.
Yeah, no, it's a different word.
Okay.
It's my Spanish pronunciation is bad. It's Arandano. Learning Japanese ruined my Spanish pronunciation.
Okay. I think the theming of Kitsukami is very obvious, and I want to go more into that. But in the trailer, the Indigo Disc looks like it's an underwater school.
Yes, yep. And it is.
That's what
awesome.
It says.
Yeah, I'm very much into that.
There's one thing I've been diving into a lot of the lore hypotheses that people are having around these games because the lore interests me. And one thing that people have pointed out is that the behind the scenes name for these games while they were in development was Atlantis. And I am very curious if this Blueberry school plays into that, being an underwater school and all of that.
Yeah. I mean, there are 400 fish Pokemon in Scarlet and Violet as well, right? So
finally, I can see Finneon close up underwater. What I've been waiting for. All right, here we go. In part one, the teal mask players will choose. Players will be chosen to take part in a school trip that is held each year in collaboration with another school. They will be taken to the land of Kitakami, where great mountains tower over the land. I'm sorry, there's a lot of repeating. It's a press release. That's just the nature of them. In the land of Kitakami, where there are great mountains towering over land and people who live at its base. Its place of tranquil, natural, black and white confirmed tranquil, natural expanses featuring rice paddies and apple orchards. The trip seems to coincide with a festival held regularly in the village in Kitakami during the season. So the village is bustling with, or they could be bussing, with various streets, vendors, and stalls. Players will meet new friends and Pokemon as they unravel mystery behind the folk tales that have been passed down in the land.
Okay, first question here. So they're talking about the fact that we're leaving the Paldea region, right?
Mm-hmm.
So are we thinking that this is like a different region entirely?
That's like what it sounds like.
A new region?
Isn't this just like Isle of Armor was just an island we went to?
Yeah, but it was still in Galar.
Yeah.
Like they make it a point to say that you're leaving the Paldea region to this place.
Yeah. Isn't something like, gosh, I read somewhere, there was so much on Twitter and social media today that like, and I'm running on like 3 hours of sleep. I read something where everything pointed that this would be north of Paldea. So I don't know if that's north on an island. I don't know if that's in that little grayed out area where everyone thought Kalos was. I don't know if it's in Paldea, but it's just the thing that Galar did, which was just like pick up and fly over to Isle of Armor.
I just feel like they wouldn't have made it a point to say you're leaving Paldea.
I agree.
Yeah, it does say
step out of the region. The way I'd been reading it is that it's a completely different region, and it feels much closer to the first few Japan-themed regions from the first few generations.
Kanto coming back.
Oh, you think we're going like
All the way over.
Well, this is a very Japanese thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, culturally.
Every second of that trailer.
Yes, 1,000,000%. So, even down to, like, the folklore is very yokai based. I almost said yokai watch. Yokai watch is an yokai. I think thematically, in a million years, I would have never asked for this, right? Like, I would have never been like, well, somebody would be like, Steve, where do you want to go in a Pokemon game? And I would have been like, I don't know, like Australia, because we've never been there. The Egypt, because pyramids are, like, I couldn't think of a place. But if somebody was like, well, we want to go to a Japanese forest during a summer festival with fireworks, and we're going to focus on this kind of folklore, and there's going to be like stands of like food and like all of like people coming out, like thematically, that is so interesting to me. I'm so into it. Like, I want to book a trip to Japan right now. I know it's not summer, but like, point me to the direction of a forest with fireworks. I want to be there.
I mean, Pokemon Worlds is coming up.
Yeah, there's your chance.
But I don't know. To me, this felt more like a filler episode.
Wow.
And that's the feeling I got from it. I wasn't as excited about it because when I was really watching this,
I was like, Hannah's going to come on the show. She's going to be like, this is tight. This is what I want.
I think it's beautiful. Don't get me wrong on that. I think it's beautiful. I think it's neat. But I'm really invested in the story that we've been learning about in Paldea. And this has seemed completely divorced from that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
According to the press release, it might not be completely separate from it. But what we've been given out of the press release so far, I'm not seeing any hints of anything from Paldea there other than the name of the hidden treasure of Area Zero.
Okay, there are new Pokemon. We'll get to that. I just want to finish this press release. We got one more paragraph here. Now I did say in part one, the teal mask will take players to a school. There is no in part two. At least in the press release, they don't go into part two, which was very similar, honestly, with the marketing of, from what I remember, the DLC of Sword and Shield. They like really went in on the Olive Armor and they were like, we're not going to tell you anything about the Crown Tundra.
Mm-hmm.
But
when the trailer for the Crown Tundra was released, it was a big deal because we knew nothing about it.
Yeah.
Right.
So it says, in part one, the teal mask, and in part two, the indigo disc, players will be able to encounter over 231 familiar Pokemon that have been living in other regions, but not have appeared in Pokemon Scarlet and Violet. Your boy Dewgong is back. To the four people out there that was like, man, I miss Dewgong. He's here. He's coming back. Also, Akrami is coming back. That's actually probably the most exciting one on the list. This includes Pokemon that players will be able to bring to their games via Pokemon Home or those are received in trades. Players will encounter new legendary Pokemon, Ogerpon in part one, the teal mask, and Terrapagos, I probably said that wrong, in part two, the indigo disc. In part one, the teal mask, three Pokemon named Okidoggy, Monkey Dory, and Fezzendipity. Well,
yeah.
I had to think about that one because it's pheasant and
serendipity.
These Pokemon are incredible. I'm instantly in love with all three of them. I'm just going to say that. They are beloved by the people of the village. They're beloved by me and the people of the village. As heroes, they protect the land of Kitakami in the past. Stone statues were made in their likeness to express people's gratitude. Players who purchase the hidden treasure of Area Zero by October 31st. Well, here's another thing to put in the calendar, you know, try to point the arrows. We'll be given a special serial code for a Hisuian Zoroark with three special features. The Zoroark will know the move Happy Hour. It will also know Terrorblast, Bitter Malice, Nasty Plot. It will have the Charismic Mark, and it will be Dark Terror type. Also, it doesn't say here. I don't know why they never advertise this. It's in a Cherish Ball, for those that care about that. If you pre-order before October 31st, you will get a code for the Zoroark. The code expires in February of 2024. So I already did this. I tested it. I paid with my own money. When you go through the eShop, it gives you the code right when you are done that you get a mystery gift. If you somehow X out of that or don't screenshot it, it emails you the code as well. So that is that's the press release. There's more stuff on the website, but
I was wondering about, since we were just noticed what they were saying about that they protected the land of Kitakami in the past, and then they were talking about how it's that story is about traditional things passed down and all of that. Just gives me that very like Scarlet past feel, and then a school in the middle of the ocean underwater gives me a very
future
Violet feel.
I didn't think about that.
Yeah, I can see that.
So I wonder if there's going to play on that at all. It kind of feels like they could. I mean, straight up, there's not going to be. Well, other than the fact that Atlantis was a historical thing, but it just from that trailer, the school and everything, that for the little bit that they showed, definitely seemed more futuristic, more modern than the other part. Also, that Pokemon, what was its name? Terapagos, I'm assuming? Like Galapagos?
Yeah,
and,
like Galapagos Islands, right? Like, that's a place, right?
Yeah, yes, it is. is definitely my favorite Pokemon in this region at this point. That Pokemon is awesome.
It is surprisingly cute.
Yeah,
it is.
It's really cute.
It's great. I love it.
I want, you know those doors that have one window just in the middle and it's a round window? I want to have a door with a window that is based off of its shell.
Oh, that, yeah. Yes.
Then you want all the Terra symbols in the window?
Yes.
But if they add like a new type, what if they add sound type in the future? Then the turtle's useless. Yep, he can't do it all.
That's the big thing with this Pokemon. It feels like they're kind of setting it in stone from here on, and that's kind of scary. Just a little bit.
Okay, so off the website, it says the Teal Mask, step out of the Paldea region as you take a trip to the land of Kitakami. You will meet new people and Pokemon while unraveling the mystery of an area's folktale. The Teal Mask is stated for fall. And then Indigo Disc, we do get a little bit more info here. The story continues as you become an exchange student in the Blueberry Academy. Most of the school is located under the ocean, and the curriculum emphasizes Pokemon battling. And that is stated for winter of 2023.
They're finally going to teach us how to do raids in Pokemon.
Finally.
No, they're not.
It's about time.
What?
It gives off a very Battle Tower vibe.
Yeah, I wonder if this is flipped because they have enough for... I guess I'm speculating a lot, and I apologize. But in most, like, third versions, we get everything that we're missing. Well... We used to get everything. Now the National Dex exists or is cut. So, but legendary-wise, we do, right? So, like, at the end of... in Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire, all the legends are there, right? They made a big deal about that. And there's no coincidence that Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire sold incredibly well for a remake. It sold very, very well. And then in Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon, all the legends are there. And then in the Crown Tundra for Sword and Shield, so ultimately, like, three main series games in a row... that added all the legends. And competitive wise, usually the final stages of competitive are legends, right? Like Landorus is now available, Cresselia is now available, Heatran is now available, Zacian, like they nerfed Zacian, right? Like Zacian's not in the game, and before the game came out, they nerfed it. They nerfed how its ability works. It does like 20 less damage. I mean, still an incredible amount of damage. Don't get me wrong. Zacian is still an incredible Pokemon. It's almost safe to say that like all the legends will come back in the second DLC. And if that is battle heavy, it's almost like they flipped the Isle of Armor and the Crown Tundra. Like Isle of Armor was pretty battle heavy, comparative to the Crown Tundra, which was more like story with the horses. And then, like, here's raids that you can do. Oh, and the story with the birds, too, right? Like, there's the horses, the birds, I guess technically the Reggies. Like, they did all of these legendary stories, and then the raids, which Isle of Armor was... Here's Urshifu, an incredible... Like, a Pokemon designed for competitive. A Pokemon purely in the sense of, like, we're sick of people protecting. Urshifu gets around that. We're sick of people light screening and reflecting. Great. Its move always crits. It gets around that. Like, it's such a menace competitively. And both were very good. And then on top of that, Isle of Armor was like, here's the vending machines for Carbos and Iron. And here's the mints. And here's, like, that game is, that DLC is very competitive in the grand scheme of things. So I just wonder, because they just mention the school emphasizes battling, that to me like leans into what the Isle of Armor was kind of trying to do a little bit.
A little bit. Battle Tower stuff.
You know, people like Battle Towers.
Yeah, I think it'll be much more connected to the story just based on the Pokemon. I can't remember how to say its name. Terapagos.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just based on that, it feels like it'll be very much connected to the story, which Isle of Armor kind of wasn't, but that doesn't mean that they can't also
Isle of Armor, you learn that Master, gosh, what is his name? Mustard was the one that trained Leon.
Yeah, there is that.
True. There was some
character backstory.
There's a little bit, yeah.
There is,
Sword and
there
Shield altogether didn't have that strong a story to begin with.
So, what are you talking about? Every question was answered in that story.
I have recently gone back and watched videos summarizing the story because I had to go back and make sure that I didn't miss anything.
It makes so much sense.
No.
It still doesn't make sense why Leon's, one of his traits is he just gets lost.
I mean, he at least has a character trait.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
That's true. That's true.
Speaking of getting lost, before we talk about these new Pokemon, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, or there's a bunch of new Pokemon to talk about and some other stuff in the trailer we haven't gone over. So we will be right back. This podcast is brought to you by ExpressVPN.
You know what's not fair? The fact that Netflix hides thousands of shows and movies from you based on your location and then has the nerve to increase their prices on you. That's right, they've just raised their prices once again. Now you could just cancel your subscription in protest, or you could be smart about it and make sure you're getting your full money's worth by using ExpressVPN like I do.
You might not know that what's on Netflix in your country is completely different from someone in the UK or Japan has on theirs. Using ExpressVPN, I can control which country I want Netflix to think I'm in. ExpressVPN has over 90 countries to choose from, so every time I run out of stuff to watch, I just switch to another country to unlock new shows.
So stop paying full price for streaming services and only getting access to a fraction of their content. Get your money's worth at expressvpn.com/pkmncast. Don't forget to use our link, and you can get 3 extra free months of ExpressVPN. That is expressvpn.com/pkmncast. expressvpn.com/pkmncast. This podcast is brought to you by Honey. Honey searches for the internet's best coupons so you don't have to. Look, I've heard about Honey for a long time, and they were like, "Hey, we want to do some ads." And I was like, "All right, let me give it a little test drive here. Let me see what's up." I was like, "I'm gonna give it the super hard test drive. We're not going down the street. We're going down the highway." So I was like, "Let me see how well it works on my iPad." And holy cow, blown away about how easy it was that the little Safari was like, "Here's Honey," and I was like, "Okay." And then I was like, "Let's buy something." And I was like, "I need a new pair of Crocs. This is the test drive." And we went to Crocs, added some Pokemon Jibbitz. This is a real story. I'm not making this. I've added Crocs and Pokemon Jibbitz. And then I got the checkout. And then Honey popped up. And it was like, "We found 5 coupons. We're going to try it." I was like, "Do it. Do your magic." And then it was the first coupon. It was like 10% off. I was like, "Okay, pretty good. $10 off." And I was like, "Oh, very good." And then all of a sudden it was like $20 off. And I was like, "This is great." I didn't do anything and it got me $20 off my Crocs and Jibbitz.
I've heard of Honey being used by people for years and years. I knew a lot of people in college who were college students who needed to budget and used Honey a whole lot for their online shopping. Used it through then and it's still going now. Pretty much, as far as I can tell, a long-lasting, well-integrated service.
I am that person though that when I get anytime like a website has like coupon code, I like Google to see if there is coupon, and then I like copy and paste and
same.
Yep,
absolutely.
Totally. But if you're that person that does that, like Honey is going to do it for you.
Honey makes it easier.
Get started by going to joinhoney.com/pkmncast. You get started for free, and it's been for, like then charge. It just works. You just plug it in, good to go. joinhoney.com/pkmncast. And we are back from our break. I felt like no one was talking about this. It's right on the website. The expansion will bring over 230 familiar Pokemon that has not appeared in Pokemon Scarlet and Violet. We see in the picture. We see Milotic, Yanma, Vikavolt, Ninetales, Shiftry, the Chimecho line, Alcremie, Zebstrika. I think a lot of people are excited for Zebstrika. Esper, Metagross, Whimsicott, and everyone's favorite, Dewgong.
Okay, you know what? That is actually one of my son's favorite Pokemon. So
don't talk too badly about it then.
No, I don't even think he knew what Dewgong was like a week ago, but I had some stickers from Mewtwo Strikes Back, the new one, whatever it was called, Mewtwo Strikes Back Evolution or something like that. And he saw it. He was like, oh, what's this Pokemon? I was like, that's Dewgong. He was like, yes, all about Dewgong all of a sudden. Like, all right, that's cool. That's cool. His favorite Pokemon is Popplio. So he likes
the
sea lion seal style of. We actually have a lot of seals like 20 minutes away from us that you can go check out all the time.
You tell your son about the Japanese people being upset that Dewgong was in the trailer that advertised for Sword and Shield, and they got mad that it was false advertising? Do you think your son would be like, yeah, false advertising? I love Dewgong.
He'd be like, what's advertising?
Well, we live in America. You can explain that pretty easily.
Yeah, I'd be like, I see everything that's out there. That's advertising.
Yeah, so 230 Pokemon. I think legendaries take up about 60 of that, assuming legendaries are coming back. That's like a big chunk of Pokemon. That was part personal reason why I didn't love Crown Tundra as much of Isle of Armor is like it was so legendary heavy.
That like, was most of the Pokemon that were in
there. Right. Yep.
Whereas Isle of Armor felt like so many new Pokemon as you were like going through the swamps and the water and the forests, and then Crown Tundra was like, oh yeah, saw you already, like, good to see you again. Here you
just
are.
I'm just gonna say it. Isle of Armor, better than Crown Tundra.
Very debatable. I liked it more, but I don't. That's not the opinion I normally hear.
Yeah, I know. I know. The Crown Tundra brings people back.
Yeah. So 230 Pokemon. To be fair, they're saying 230 familiar Pokemon. We have no clue how many new Pokemon there are going to be. We saw a handful of new Pokemon today. They started off with, two legends. I think they called them legends of the turtle. And then, gosh, what is the Majora's Mask Skull Kid? What is their name?
Ogre?
The Ogre, yeah.
Something Pawn.
Ogre Pawn? I think.
No, I don't think that's it.
What?
I think that was it.
No, it is Ogre Pawn. Yeah, Ogre Pawn. Yeah.
Ogre Pawn? Why did I think there was an M in there? Okay, never mind.
Ogre
Pawn. And then Terapagos.
Terapagos, yes.
That's where it's at.
Yes, they do say legendary Pokemon. The new legendary Pokemon, Ogre Pawn, and then
Terapagos.
Like terastalization.
I can't say that word. You already lost me there.
You can say Terra types. So Terra, like Terra types.
Terra.
And then Pagos, like Galapagos.
Like Galapagos, yeah.
I don't even know where Galapagos islands are.
You don't need to know where the Galapagos islands are.
Are they near Spain?
To say Galapagos. Those things are not... they're not... connected.
breathe. We'll get through this episode. We'll talk about those in a second. Okie doggie, monkey dory, Fessendipity.
There you go. You got
they're
it.
So good. They're such good Pokemon.
They are.
Their names are great. I'm interested in what seems to be their alternate forms, which is the masks that you can see in the trailer.
Yeah. There's for sure. They also scream folklore. They do scream very much like the folklore themes that they are reaching for in this DLC, and I'm here for it. I can't get over how good they are. They're so good. But I guess we don't know if they're legendary. Usually a trio of new Pokemon is a legendary trio.
I've never
it could
has
be.
It ever like, been a trio that isn't legendary when they're
yeah like
Jolteon,
this would be
Vaporeon, Flareon okay. is the first well, one that comes well, to mind
okay
questionable what those are. I'd call those legendary myself
but I would put so going back to competitive stuff, right? Like you have box legends that are normally banned, and then you have the sub legends, which for an average Pokemon player, you wouldn't really know that, right? Because that's like the coding stuff. But like usually all sub legends are allowed once legends are allowed in. And just because a Pokemon's legendary doesn't mean it's particularly good. Like you can look at like Savala is naturally like a pretty bad legendary competitive Pokemon. But it would be it would make sense that these are legends in a way comparable to like Articuno, Zapdos, Moltres, or Raikou, Entei, Suicune, and but Tarapa, the turtle, and Ogerpon would be on the level of a Kyogre or a Groudon or a Calyrex or a Zacian, where they're not allowed in this format because they're not because they're technically box legends. And if they were to be allowed, you're usually the rules are you're only allowed two box legends. So that's why in the end of Scarlet and Violet, the winning team ended up being Kyogre, Zacian. Now, there could have been other legends on the team, but Kyogre, Zacian were the two box legends. My only worry is Ogerpon is Grass Dark, and I hope it's not, because Grass Dark is one of the worst typings ever.
Ouch. It's come in handy for some Pokemon here and there, and with Terastalization, it's not as bad.
Sure, that's true. Yeah. That's very true. I don't care about Ogerpon at this point. Maybe that will change when I see it in motion or I see what's happening.
There was some piece of artwork, I think, from the press release that looked a little better. It's also on the official website. The piece of art they showed in the trailer was kind of off center and confusing to look at. The mm-hmm. one that's on the website, actually, you can tell, looks more like a Pokemon.
Yeah, I mean, clearly there's something to do with its mask. I'm curious if it can put on different masks, kind of like how Genesect can put in different drives. I don't know if people know this about Genesect, that there are different drives you can put into it. So Valai and Arceus, obviously there's different discs you can put in, Kyogre, Groudon. They have different orbs, Giratina too, Palkia, Dialga, I guess technically. So it wouldn't surprise me if the thing with the mask, which gives Majora's Mask vibes, has multiple masks. Especially because that trailer opens up with masks. You see a variety of masks hanging on the, which again is another part of those festivals of, you know, masks, balloons, food, fireworks. That kind of stuff. Again, thematically, they're killing it. Seems like thematically, seems great.
Yeah.
Thematically, it is very tied together on its own. I'll keep saying that. I'll keep saying that until they prove that it's connected to anything else.
But Hannah, you think the these three folklore mons are changing? They're going to look like something else.
Well, the masks that you are referring to from the beginning of the trailer did not look like them, but they were also clearly a dog, a monkey, and a bird mask. So I am pretty certain those are all the same Pokemon. It seems like the three trio of Pokemon that we have here are going to transform into something a little bit more superhero-y, at least is what the masks look like.
Mm-hmm. Very Power Rangers, a little Power Rangers up in there.
Yep.
Little Tommy, little Jason. I don't remember any other Power Ranger names. Tommy, Jason.
Billy.
Oh, yeah. Billy.
Zach. Kimberly. And Trini, right?
Trini. And
you actually
Kimberly.
Have them down.
Wow.
That was the Power Rangers. Oh, I loved the Power Rangers.
Speaking of things that didn't look exactly like we were told, we talked about this a couple episodes ago, that there was legendary Pokemon that were paradoxed. I didn't really consider that a spoiler, even though it was leaked very early on. But you can walk into the school and you can find those books and you can see those pictures. Whether or not people did that, up to you. But if you did do that, if you did see those pictures, or whether that was online, on Twitter, or in the game, in the books, you saw what looked like a Suicune, and maybe an Entei and maybe a Raikou, all kind of in like this beast form. And obviously that was the ancient form for Violet. And then the other book page,
Scarlet,
thank you. And then the other book page had what looked to be Virizion, but with a little bit of Cobalion and a little bit of Terrakion. And that was the Violet, and that looked to be the future. It was obvious that, like, okay, when are these Pokemon going to show up? Are they going to show up in the DLC? They showed up today in 5-star raids, so they're level 75. Not too tough. It's just, you know, people not understand, you know, just people being like, oh, these are new Pokemon. I'm not sure what its types are. I'm not sure what its moves are, right? You know, and once people take a day or two to figure that out, it'll be fine. So you only catch one. They're in the game today. They don't have Pokedex numbers yet. This is very, very similar to when Slowpoke appeared in the Sword and Shield. I would say this is a little more exciting than a Slowpoke, but, you know, maybe some Slowpoke fan out there, maybe over the moon. That being said, these Pokemon don't look like what they were drawn as in the book.
They are not the same Pokemon.
They are very different.
But to make a point, neither do the Great Tusk and the Violet one.
Yes.
Those drawings are also different from the ultimate Pokemon that they turned out to be. Not as different.
Right.
There aren't as big changes that we can point out, but the drawings are different from the actual Pokemon, which means there's something going on there.
Right.
Especially with these ones that we just got.
Could it just be people like aren't great at or drawing what they saw?
Well,
I mean, yes. What was it, you know, like these books are coming from like these drawings and things are from the future and from the past, technically, right? So
right. The interesting thing, and I mean, I can't speak to this because I haven't dove down that lore hole deep enough, but there is conflicts in from what I remember, and I'm super sorry. I'm sure somebody on YouTube or in Slack or in Discord, they'll have like the paragraph of what I'm going to say and be slightly wrong off. But somewhere in the game, it kind of points out that the person who wrote about Iron Tusk or Iron Treads or Great Tusk, they wrote about it before the time machine.
Yes,
was
Arvin,
even there.
Arvin mentions that after you complete the main storyline and finish battling in the tournament.
Oh, it's after the tournament.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I would, because when I was doing tournament, I was skipping through dialogue because I was like, I need 6-star raids now.
Yeah, it's right after that, or at least it was for me. It could also potentially be just after you've progressed through all of their friendship levels, because it's the end of Arvin's story, that Arvin is standing there by the Scarlet Book or the Violet Book, and you go up to him and he makes this comment of, you know, this doesn't really make sense that my parent was inspired by this book, but the things in this book came from the machine that my parent made. And so there's a disconnect there. There's something happening. That's what I'm very curious about. But the trio legendaries that are in there, also, in particular, the Suicune, Entei, Raikou one, just especially didn't make sense. Because Suicune, Entei, and Raikou were reincarnated by Ho-Oh 250 years ago. 250-ish years ago. So them being all smashed into one combined form however long ago,
right,
doesn't quite make sense.
Yeah. And the picture that you see in the game is a beast on four legs with one tail. And like, yes, it has the Suicune crown, and yes, it has a huge mane, and yes, Walking Wake, which is the Suicune Pokemon, is on two legs with tiny arms, and it does have a huge mane, but it is not nearly the same mane as what's in the picture, and it has two tails like a chimera. It's like the Virizion one, you'd be like, the artist, you know, maybe saw him slightly and like didn't get it all in. Even though, like, again, side by side, like the drawing is like thick legs, thick antlers. And to me, it always looked as all three of them for each trio squished together.
Mm-hmm.
And this is clearly just Suicune, and this is clearly just Virizion.
Yes.
And they look cool. They look great. They're just not what the picture has been for the last 3 months.
I think there's a question of whether the drawing came after... No, I'm not going to say that right. Never mind. I'm not going to work that out.
Well, even if it was like they never saw him or they made it up.
Exactly. No, the book says that this is a theoretical picture. It's one... The book says, I believe, that these pictures are Pokemon that could have been, but not ones they necessarily saw. It never even hints to them being Pokemon they necessarily saw, whereas I think that it does for the other
Pokemon.
This gives me, like, vibes of, not in exactly the same way, but, like, Legends Arceus, where, like, these two groups... know the great Sinnoh and they see them differently and then in the end, you know, like how that all plays out, that just feels very much like that. This is what we think this could look like. This is what we, and then I don't know, those pictures having combination, you're like, oh, okay, we've narrowed it down to like a potential three Pokemon it kind of looks like, and then they come out here and it's like, oh, it's one single Pokemon. I don't know, I'm not saying there's not more, like looking at the pictures. Yeah, they're very different from what we see, what we're seeing today, but it just feels very much like someone who was taking a guess at what these would look like, and so they combined a bunch of stuff together, and then what it actually looked like wasn't exactly like, you know, it's like they hyped up, it's like they did what everybody, they hyped up something, and then when it came out, it was like, oh, this isn't as awesome as we thought it was going to be when we all hyped it up ourselves.
I think I struggle to talk anything in regards of Ogerpon, because even though his mask has like a Terra thing on the top, and he seems to be related to the three folklore things, the existence of that not being in Paldea, like Hannah mentioned earlier, still doesn't line up. Whereas if you look at the turtle, it has every Terra thing on its back, and it is clearly the thing that they were talking about that was blacked out in the book.
It's a disc. It's covered in hexagons. Yeah.
His name is Terra. His name starts with Terra.
Like the turtle is the thing causing the problem in Area Zero. It's the thing eating the lab, or something is causing it to absorb.
The turtle is related to whatever is happening.
Right. Whereas Ogerpon is like, we don't know what's happening there at all. And I'm sure a Pokemon will make a story. I'm sure a Pokemon story will make sense. It's not a true statement. All of us have played X and Y. None of that made sense. But in this case, at least the turtle is making sense in the fact that the disc is being corrupted, something to do with the time machine. We know where the cells are coming from. We know probably where the Terra is coming from. It's probably something to do with this turtle. So in that regards, the turtle is cool, and it's really hard to gauge from this picture. Is this turtle Tortuga size, or is this turtle Eternatus size? Like,
because when you see it in the book, you definitely expect it to be giant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is a thing Pokemon loves to do. They love to give you a giant Pokemon, and then when you catch it, it is no longer giant Pokemon.
Yes, it could have an alternate form or something like that for sure.
Right. We will never get hand form Eternatus or whatever again.
Right, right. Oh, this reminds me of after in Legends, after you catch Arceus, and then you go and it's like in your pasture. This Pokemon that's
tamed.
Like this mythical started the universe Pokemon's just chilling in a pasture now
next to like a weasel.
The big weasel, gotta be.
I think this is probably the thing we'll end on, and again, obviously there'll be more episodes coming and we can talk about everything else, you know, that we missed, but I think I wanted the end on is kind of like, we can put the Kalos rumors to bed at this point, right? Unless, I don't know, the Japanese festival that we're going to is somewhere in Kalos and not in Japan.
I think there's no rumors are getting put to bed to rest until we're on Gen 10 and Scarlet Violet is in the back. best, honestly.
But the thing that is, like, for as much as people want to go back to Kalos, and there's a bunch of reasons why, right? And there's a bunch of, you know, I don't know, I would say reaching. I would say people, like, just trying to put two and two together. You know, there was, well, AZ is Area Zero. That's like, it's just kind of stretch. the giant crater could have been caused by the cannon from Kalos. Well, you know, that also doesn't make sense because, like, if you just went to school and you read the books, like, the crater isn't that old. The cannon is really, or the crater is older than the cannon.
I think they're around the same age, actually.
Oh, I don't think they're...
Don't start this.
No, they're not. They're not the same. No, I know this. They're not close. Stop this. They're not close. There was, like, Glamora looks like the flower cannon. Like, I don't know, Glamora looks like a flower. The flower cannon looks like a flower. There's, like, oh, there's a trainer with a Noibat next to the area that seems like that's Kalos. And there's another trainer with a Gudra. There's another trainer with a some other Gen 6 Pokemon.
Okay, I can correct myself. The treasure hunt was 2,000 years ago. The crystal from X and Y was 3,000 years ago, so the crater is probably older.
Yes. I think one of the history teachers does tell you the crater's age, but I don't remember it. And then when the runes...
She doesn't. I have all my notes up. I have all my class notes pulled up.
You got your notes?
Yep.
And then the treasures of ruin, they came like, what, like 200 years ago or something?
The treasures of ruin, I don't think those had a... No, they must have. All my class notes are not as organized as I want them to be.
This is why you're failing, Hannah. getting no perfect attendance, getting kicked out of class. The other thing was, like, cells, right? We have a cell problem that's taking over. There's a Pokemon in Kalos that is cell-based. Its name is Zygarde. Zygarde can change forms. He could be a dog. He can be a Power Ranger. He can be a snake. Maybe he could be a turtle. I don't think Zygarde could be a turtle. Because now we see the turtle, and we know the turtle is not Zygarde.
And Zygarde was based off of Loki, and I don't think Loki turns into a turtle.
Yeah. And this was, you know... With everyone stretching and trying to figure out who is, like, you know, how this is connected to Kalos, it always just dumbfounded me of, like, number one, why Kalos was already shafted and didn't get a Z, didn't get a finished story. Like, Zygarde cells got moved into Sun and Moon, and they didn't even do that well in Sun and Moon. Why would you want it added on to a new region for it to not, like, fully breathe again? Number two, there are so many unanswered questions in Paldea. Why would they just abandon that to go back to Kalos, which already had a terrible story?
All the answers are there in Kalos.
They're all there. Number three, these people are giving Game Freak way too much credit to go... Oh, yeah. When we made Gen 6, we were prepping for Gen 9. Like, what? In what universe do you think they were prepping this far ahead? Like, just nothing lined up. There could be a third DLC, I guess. There could be a Kalos. Yeah, look, there could be a lot of stuff. But at least what we're getting this year doesn't seem to be... us going to Lumio City anytime soon.
No. Now, with the second DLC being in the water, could we see an Echo the Dolphin crossover?
Oh.
Absolutely. And I think that's why I like the second DLC so much more. It's got that setting.
Do you think IGN is going to say too much water on your way to...
Undoubtedly.
The blueberry?
Also, I was thinking maybe it's Blueberry Academy. Because it's not Paldea, so it's not Spanish. Like,
no,
it's
they
not
said that that school is in your district.
Oh, it's that one is school. In your district?
Yes, they specifically say this school is in your district, but the other school is outside of Paldea, and you're a foreign exchange student.
The Blueberry Academy is the one that's that you're going to, though, right? You're the foreign exchange student at the Blueberry Academy.
I think you're a foreign exchange student to both.
Oh, I thought you were a foreign exchange student at Blueberry Academy. Which was why I was thinking it's not in Spanish. because it's a different region.
So the Blueberry Academy is your academy's sister school, and you are traveling there as an exchange student. Sister schools can be in different countries, and it does say exchange student.
Yeah, so I was thinking maybe that might be why. That's why it's Blueberry. Not in Spanish.
Does
it's
it say exchange student for the other festival too?
No, that's just a school trip.
That's just a school trip. Oh, okay, yeah. Okay. That's like a little vacation. That's where you gotta get your permission slips. My parents never signed my permission slip. I didn't go on a lot of school trips. There was a $10 fee to go to the zoo. Guess you're not going to the zoo.
Aw.
Right, sorry to hear. We have a zoo here. If you want to come to San Diego, I can take you to the zoo.
I've been to that zoo. It's also like $80 to get to that zoo.
I have passes. I can get you. We can go.
Overall, I don't know. Final take. How excited on a scale of one to Pikachu are we for this DLC?
For the first one of five, I still feel like it's a filler episode. Nothing's convinced me otherwise yet, so I'm not as excited for the first one. For the second one, I don't know. It has Battle Tower vibes, which makes me think there might not be as much story, but also it has the Pokemon that has to do with the story, so I'm expecting answers there, and I want it now. So that one's Pikachu level.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, I would say same. I'm not as excited for the first one, but I am excited for both of them. Pikachu for the second one, or Ego the Dolphin level for the second one, if it's me, just makes sense.
The first one is pretty. It's
seems
very well themed. It looks like it will be enjoyable, but I am not convinced yet that it has the story I'm looking for.
Yeah,
it has
I could see
any
it
answers.
Being almost like a side story, mm-hmm. and also just I could see it being that, and it being like a beautiful scenery and. Just a different location. And then second one, now we're diving back into the story and going that route and then kind of figuring it all out or whatever they decide to tell us at the end.
I'm more excited for the first, but they both seem great. I guess I had no expectations for DLC, and what they showed, I was like, sign me up.
Yep.
Let's drive.
For sure. For sure.
Give me some more Oogie Boogie. What's that dude's name? Okie Dokie. Dang, these names are good. Monkey Dory. Dang, these names are good. All right, well, that's our episode. Thanks for listening. If you made it to the end, and if you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or Stitcher or any other podcast app, if you can rate us, that's very helpful. If you made it to the end, just thank you, though. We'll be back next week, normally on Monday. Thank you, Hannah. Thank you, Bobby. This has been another episode of the Pokemon Podcast, and we are
super effective.
Still making our way through the Pokemon Presents news. Super effective.
This podcast is brought to you by Patreon. A huge shout out to our producers of the episode, starting with Stephen, Kay, William, Tony, Stuart, Ryan, Nate, Matthew, Bovine, Catherine, Casey, Josh, Jessica, Gray, Courtney, Chris, Brian, Anthony, and our executive producers of Spencer and Brady. Thank you so much for the continued support. If you too would like to support us on Patreon, you can head over to patreon.com/pkmncast. That is patreon.com/pkmncast. And you can sign up to get a bunch of rewards, including having your name read at the end of the episode. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next week.